Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Insights from Sightloss Friendly Church. I am Lynn Davis, and with me is my colleague Matthew Horspool. And now is the time for eggs, chickens, spring is in the air, and more importantly for the Christian calendar, it is Good Friday, and we are celebrating Easter. And Easter service is in many ways quite different from a normal church service, and there are things to keep in mind when accommodating people with sight loss.
Yes, indeed. So as this episode is published, it's actually Good Friday, and it's a very somber day because it's the day on which Jesus is crucified. But many people will be listening to this after Good Friday, and hopefully some people will pick it up in time for Easter Sunday. And Easter Sunday is one of these really joyous occasions, probably the most joyous occasion in the Christian calendar, and certainly in the Anglican Church, comes with a whole load of very ancient traditions like Easter vigils and candlelit services before dawn, when the lighting is generally very bad, and being outside and walking around the church and possibly having the church in a slightly different layout to normal, and of course Easter breakfasts, which are always great fun. But they're only great fun if you know what you're doing. So I think probably it's worth taking those one by one. I don't know about you, Lynn, but as a blind person, extended periods of silence, which you get at Easter vigils quite a lot because you'll have a reading and then you'll have lots of silence while people are praying and doing their bits. And then eventually everyone will come together in a prayer and then you move on to the next one. I just find that quite, I don't know if intimidating is the right word, but I feel like there might be something going on that I'm not privy to, even though there isn't. That's kind of the feeling that I get.
Yeah, so I can understand exactly the kind of feeling you're talking about. The problem I have with long silences is that I always start laughing, and I don't really know whether that is because I'm nervous or because everyone is just quiet, and it's that thing like someone has got to break the silence, and what is it going to be? Yeah, I suppose it is a nervous anticipation there that sets me off giggling, and I find that really embarrassing, and I really don't mean any harm by it, but I don't know how to prevent it from happening.
I mean, I don't necessarily get that. I just find myself wondering what's happening, what's going on. And I can't really relax into the silence. You know, a lot of people would you know, sit in the silence and pray. I'm too busy sat in the silence wondering when the prayer is going to happen and how, you know, is it the prayer that I think it's going to be? And how am I going to be able to follow it if it isn't? And, you know, all of that. And anyway, you know, have people moved without me realizing, and just all of this. I think now I've done lots of Easter vigils, I'm starting to get used to them, and I don't feel that quite as much as I did in the early days. But nonetheless, an Easter vigil in a new church, and the cycle sort of just starts all over again, because every church does it slightly differently.
That makes sense. It's also kind of a tenser silence as well when there are many people in there, especially from a blind person's point of view, or how I see it. Like you said, you're anticipating the prayers, you're waiting for them to happen. And then there's also all the distractions about people getting up because maybe someone has a small child that needs a toilet and can't wait. You've got people coughing, you've got people blowing their nose. I think that sort of contributes to the giggling fits that I sometimes get during these things, because it's not that the things themselves are funny, but it's just like, what's going on? Yeah. Whilst if I'm sitting by myself or with a couple of people in a reflective silence, meditating or praying on something, it's a very, very different feel, because you have more of a grip of what is actually going on around you.
Yes, I think that's fair enough. And of course, to add to the distractions, certainly the Easter vigils that I've been to have been outside. So we've been stood in the cold generally and in the dark, and I don't necessarily feel the dark, but nonetheless it feels like nighttime, and it's cold, it's really cold. And so I've got all the prayers in Braille in the cold, and my fingers, if they get too cold, they can't read the Braille, so there's the distraction of actually trying to keep the fingers warm and all of that on top, which doesn't really help.
No. Yeah, I've had similar problems as well, trying to read Braille with fingers that are stiff with cold.
Mm.
And then you lose some of your sensitivity as well. And it's hard to see the words and or feel the writing, if you like.
Yes. Yeah. So I think my favourite part of Easter is not so much the vigil, but it's what happens after the vigil. You know, the dawn service and walking into the church for the first time. There's a fire outside. The Paschal candle has been lit from the fire. It's being taken into church. That walk into church always feels really, really slow. And, you know, I just sort of, I wander in and think, oh, goodness me, can we not go a bit faster? And then you realise that it's, you know, it's not because I'm blind. It's because everybody else is walking slowly. And probably because it's dark, actually. So everybody's a little bit nervous. And then we get into church and then we can have the service. And that service is just such a lovely service. I really enjoy that. And at that point, it starts to feel, I think, a little bit more normal, except for the fact that sometimes you're offered a candle that's been lit from the Easter candle. And I don't know about you, Lynn, I never accept those because I'm always terrified that either I'm going to burn the person in front of me, or I'm going to burn my Braille, or burn myself or something.
So I have never been offered a candle, partly because I haven't attended an Anglican Easter service before. And in the Lutheran church, and Easter is actually a time where I really love going to a high church service just because it is so grand. And what you're celebrating, especially, you know, Easter Sunday, when you're celebrating that Jesus has risen, and there's something really sort of magnanimous and huge about all of this. And in the Lutheran church, we don't have the procession in. So people are sitting at their pews in silence, in a reflective silence or in a sort of vigil type silence. And then children usually walk in with the candles and they sing a particular Easter song, especially in Norway. There is one particular song the children will sing as they walk in and the organ is playing. And as they walk past with the candles, everyone gets up and everyone joins in that particular Easter song. So it's a very lovely start to the service. And when I was doing the procession as a child, I would walk with a candle because it would be a straight position, walking with a candle, sitting, putting the candle in the place where it needed to be, and then sit down. If I was holding Braille and not in the procession or for any reason sitting down, I would never accept a candle either for exactly the same reasons as you wouldn't accept it.
Mm. Well, I think as a child, we're just much more carefree, aren't we? I mean, I think as a child, I would have had a candle and had my Braille and I'd have been completely carefree about it and gone, yeah, of course, it's going to be fine. And all the adults would have gone, no, it's not. And I'd have told them how
exactly.
It was. And, you know, that's what happens when you're a child and you don't think about things like health and safety. And to be honest, the sad thing is, actually, it would probably be fine. I'm probably much more careful with a candle than many of the people around me because I know, you know, to be careful with a candle. So actually, I'd probably be fine. I just am a bit nervous.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, you are much more conscious about health and safety as an adult. And sometimes it's the beauty of childhood that you're not scared, even though you should be sometimes. Don't necessarily know if that applies to the candle, but it's a nice thing to be able to do and very understandable that you have your reservations as an adult.
Mm. So we get to the end of the Easter service, and I think certainly in the Anglican Church, the rest of the Easter service follows through rather like a normal service, so there's no point really dwelling on that. But we get to the end of the Easter service, and then we go for Easter breakfast. And how wonderful is Easter breakfast? Sometimes it's in the church hall, sometimes it's in the vicarage, you know. So, I mean, that actually presents the first challenge, how to actually get to where it is. And then the challenge of what there is. And then the challenge of, is there a table that you can sit at when you've got your sausage and your bacon and your egg and you realise everyone else is just sat on chairs in a big circle. And I don't know about you, I can't manage that. I really do need a table to sit at. But I mean, the sense of community there is just absolutely wonderful.
It is great. And I'm like you in that I definitely want a table, especially if it's that kind of breakfast. If it's a sandwich on a plate, like a bacon sandwich, I can deal with it. Luckily, in my church, we do set out tables for this. And because I have been going to my church for almost 4 years now, I know the people very well, they know me very well. I am not afraid to ask for what I want, and I get it in terms of getting the right portion sizes and knowing what's there. They know what I like. Certainly some people, or the people I tend to sort of gravitate towards, know what I like, how much I want. And it's about deciding based on what's there, isn't it? Letting a sighted person decide how much you get of something just to make sure that everyone gets enough. Unless they know you don't like something. So if you don't like baked beans, okay, don't give the person baked beans. Just inform the person with sight loss what's there, and they will guide you towards how they want to be helped and what is useful to do. And I don't serve myself. I never do, because I have on several occasions dipped my fingers in cross bun icing and all of that stuff. And it's just not very nice to do that. Not in terms of hygiene, although that is one point to it, but in for me, I don't want that icing all over my fingers. I don't also want to accidentally put it in someone's cup afterwards. So it's just better to have someone serve you for that.
Yeah, I absolutely guide you too agree. Much. Yeah. And I think also, again, it goes back to what we were saying about portion sizes. You know, you might accidentally get two slices of bacon instead of one if you're serving yourself. And I mean, anybody can do that. But as a sighted person, you know that that's happened very quickly and you can deal with it. As a blind person, you may not notice that's happened until the bacon's ended up on your plate. And then you've got the slightly embarrassing thing of, right, I've got to transfer this, you know, back into the bacon pot, you know. So, yeah, yes. I'd much prefer to be served. What I actually want is for someone either to take me up and tell me what's there and then make me a plate up, or just to know what I want. You know, the best experiences of Easter breakfasts I've had is when someone's known me that well that they've just said, right, you know, stay there and I'll get you a plate. And that feels really lazy at first, because it feels like I really should come up and, you know, be part of it. But actually, it's the most helpful way of dealing with it. At least it is for me.
Yeah, I don't find that it's very lazy. I just find it that somebody knows me well enough to just know what I want, and maybe they will nip down and ask, oh, they have some oranges as well. Are you interested in an orange? And I would say yes or no. Rather than seeing it as laziness, I see it as just efficiency, because it makes it a lot quicker for them not to have to describe each and every item for you, which isn't a problem. But if you don't have to do that and can be more efficient by just letting them get it as well as getting what they want for themselves, then that's only a good thing, really. And you know that you can serve yourself at home. I think that's the thing that I take away from it, that I might not do it in certain settings, like a church breakfast, but I could do it independently for myself at home.
Absolutely. And also, you know, we don't know, well, I mean, we know to a certain extent how busy the place is, but we don't know how many people are walking backwards and forwards with plates and things like that. And I can only imagine how difficult it is for a sighted person to have to guide somebody and carry a plate, if not two plates, you know, one for me and one for them at the same time. And to be able to relieve that burden a little bit feels like the right thing to do.
Exactly. And at Easter, there are usually a lot more people in church than there would normally be, because Easter, as well as Christmas, are the times when people really come out to church, and there might be twice the number of people that would usually be there. So it's a very good idea to just have someone serve that breakfast.
And that's all we've got time for on this edition of Insights from Sight Loss Friendly Church. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to get in touch, you can email us SLFC, that stands for Sight Loss Friendly Church, @torchtrust.org. Or you can give us a call on 01858 438 260 or visit the website at torchtrust.org. For now, though, from myself, Matthew Horspool, and my colleague, Lynn Davis, thanks very much for listening. Have a happy Easter, and we'll see you again next week. Bye for now.